It is 7:21 in the morning, March 6th, 2019. What a difference a night can make. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. What a difference. If I did not hear the testimonies and read the testimonies of other men that have gone through fights with the devil like this, I would believe that I'm delusional, and I've just made up the story of there being a devil who attacks men who love Jesus Christ and want to do his will. I would believe it's just a fairy tale. The things that continue to happen in my life are so unbelievably consistent with the Word of God and with the testimonies of great men and women who have loved and feared God and have walked in his ways and in his path. And yesterday was the hellish assault against my marriage, where I literally felt by the end of the day that my marriage was over, that I've lost my wife, that I did not have anything left but perhaps a mustard seed. I got down and so low in my faith account that I had nothing left but one mustard seed to give to God last night. It's the absolute truth. Here I am, a man of strong faith, a man who testifies over and over again of the greatest gift I have is my strong faith in God, which has been tested over and over and over again. And last night, I felt the depletion of my faith to believe that my wife would stay with me and that my wife can turn around in faith. I felt it deplete down to nothing but a tiny little seed. The closest I've ever come to knowing what a mustard seed of faith looks like was last night. I think there's probably only been, in all my years of following hard after God, perhaps there's only been just a handful of times where I've cried out, God help me in my unbelief. But last night, I had to cry out for God to help me in my unbelief. I've made generous recordings detailing as best I can what happened, but it all started with, you know, first of all, when God began to lead and have show up on the radar, I've listed in obstacles to, and I've listed several accounts where Persis has begun to be on shaky ground and there's been some difficulties, some agitation, some offenses that have come up that were not there before came up. So once I received as the call, the ministry field, I believe Satan began to attack my wife. The greatest way he could destroy the fruitfulness of the ministry God would have me do is by to remove my wife. And to create so much doubt and fear in her that he runs her off. And then I end up having to go as a divorced man who's been once again left by an unbelieving spouse. There would be virtually nothing to expect of my ministry. Who would listen to a guy who's been divorced twice? It's barely that I'm getting through having been left by my first spouse. Thank goodness that she had an affair and it's been proven after the fact that she had an affair. If I didn't have that, I think I perhaps would be doomed. And to think that I am standing on the verge of losing my second wife through unbelief and through her, you know, being led astray by the devil is just unthinkable. But I did notice once it came up, Persis became unsettled, and there's been these little things that I'm not even sure she's aware and she wouldn't connect them to, but I can clearly see the devil trying to stir up a rat's nest in her heart. I came here and I felt it. I felt I was in a war. I had seen 6:11. I made a recording about it. I had seen 6:11, Ephesians 6:11. I had seen 6:16. I had seen them. We were driving down the road. I saw a car pass us, 9:29, as I'm sitting here lamenting what the heck is going on with my wife and I. Matthew 9:29, according to your faith, it will be done to you. And I almost felt like, God, I don't have any faith, and so I'm in trouble. If it's according to my faith right now, God, I'm in trouble. I am a man of strong faith in God. But with this situation, you know, I have really struggled. Really, really struggled. And, You know, I think I may be having some heart problems. Man, I've been having shortness of breath, and for weeks I'm even feeling a little pressure in my chest right now. I mean, I don't know if I'm like a heart attack waiting to happen and drop dead. I've had issues going on with my heart where it will skip a beat and real irregular heartbeats and stuff like that. And I've told the Lord the other day, I felt like, man, I may die and my heart may stop. And I said, Father, if this is what you have for me, God, if you're ready to take me out, so be it. If you want to have my recordings be what ministers to people under people around the world, and you can take me home and make my recordings famous, it'll never touch my pride, and it can still feed the masses. I had to lay down because my heart stopped beating like basically four times in like 30 minutes. I have no insurance, and I would rather just die than be stuck with, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in doctor's bills that just basically put us in a spiritual, a financial prison. I feel absolutely comfortable in the work that I have done. I've had a sense of completion once I finished telling my story, that if Father wants to take me home, I'm ready and willing to go home. I mean, there's so much I have suffered in this life. Some days I'm just like, God, I'm tired. Just take me home, you know? But, you know, I know also that the Bible says that not a hair of my head will fall to the ground apart from the will of the Father. So I'll wait, you know, for Father to tell me, you know, what's going on. But I very well could be having something wrong with my heart, which is why I'm having this shortness of breath, and I am feeling a little pressure or something in there. And I mean, it's hard for me to believe. I want to be in denial. I'm 46 years old. How could I have something wrong with my heart? But it could also be stress-related. My goodness gracious. I mean, I'm trying to sell a house, move out of another thinking house, moving back in with my parents, juggle possessions back and forth, try to sell all the stuff that I have, try to figure out how to get to... And then also being in the process of basically losing my wife. So my spirit is not feeling stressed out, but maybe my body is feeling very stressed. But I've made quite a few recordings wondering, wow, this could be my last one. And so let me finish this one. I'm in here and I basically am telling the Lord I have virtually no faith left. I said, God, I can't feel any faith really for believing that this situation with my wife will turn around. I said, God, I need your help. I need your help. And, you know, I really need you to help me, Lord. And Father, I need you to help me right now, God. I don't have health insurance. I don't know what's going on with my heart, but I need help. I need you to help me. This is probably some of the worst shortness of breath I've had in a while. It could even just be that God is allowing me to be tested in such severe areas and touch my flesh and all that. And the good news is I'm at a point of such full surrender that I do not love my life so much as to shrink back from death. I've made a few recordings about this where I'm not the kind of guy that could fight to stay alive. I have fought to stay alive spiritually, but physically fighting to stay alive is not something that I can do. I don't have it in me. If I got the cancer diagnosis, I'd be incredibly reluctant to take any kind of a treatment for it, but I'm rather to receive the divine providence of God. If God wanted to take it from me, he could. Some people would say that's putting God to the test, but let it be to them according to their faith. And for one man, it's this, and another man, it's that. But for me, I long to go home. I just don't want to go home in this condition. I don't want to go home in the middle of a terrible battle. I'd love to be able to go home when I'm standing back on the mountaintop in victory with God. You know, that's a sad thing for me. This has been really sad for me to have to go through. And nevertheless, I'm going through it. Please, God, help me finish this story. I had this awareness, this terrible, dark awareness that I have very little faith. Like, to even grab a hold of a couple of scriptures or to read a devotion would have been very difficult for me to feed that faith. It was so little. so strangled, so anemic for this particular situation. Like, I was believing that, well, I guess my wife is just gone. And, you know, what's interesting is that I have prayed a few times. I'm like, God, if she's going to be like this, just send her away. And so I was also believing, okay, God, is this the answer to my prayers? That, God, if she's going to continue to just drift into darkness and get in the way, and she's just going to be a spiritual boat anchor to me, God, send her away. But I stopped believing that a few days ago because I recognized that she's a thorn in my flesh. That God has used her as a thorn in my flesh to keep me humble in the face of multitudes of people who claim to be touched in powerful ways through my ministry. And she's been an ongoing spiritual torment to me, and yet I've always gotten right back up and fought through it and loved her and go to God in prayer. And as I did last night, I was at the darkest place I've been. And I remember at one point having just read in Austin Sparks' devotional about the God of wonders and how God will not do wonders for those who do not have faith. And he said also, sometimes we may have to cry out, God, help me in my unbelief. Like that guy did, I think, in Mark 9:24 or something like that. Anyhow, I did that last night. I cried out and I said, God, help me in my unbelief. I said, Father, I'm struggling. And it was hard for me to admit that I, to my Father, that I did not have that strong faith right now to believe that my wife could be brought back from the spiritual dead. And I said, God, help me. Please help me. And man, I tell you, within just a few minutes, this power came into me. It was unbelievable. It's only explainable by God. I mean, it's like a light switch. It was off a few minutes ago, and now it was on. It was one of the most powerful prayers, and I began to speak to the devil. I had just heard a message from Zach Poonen about reminding the devil and speaking to him of the things that are not to change and using the word of God against him, just like Jesus did to Satan. And I tore into the devil last night with the word of God. I mean, I flat tore into him. And my goodness gracious, it was powerful. And I said, you take your stinking filthy hands, you take your stinking filthy voice out of her ear, you take your hands off of her, you are done with her. You had your time with her, your time is up. You have chastised me and tormented me and beat me down and taken from me and stolen from me, you thief, long enough. Your days are done. And I began to just quote scripture after scripture. It was loud. If somebody were standing outside my tiny house last night or even walking near it, they would have heard somebody and thought somebody was in here screaming. It was loud. It was defiant. It was bold. It was filled with faith. That little mustard seed became a gigantic bowling ball of faith, and it was rolling through the pins of Satan. I mean, it was incredible. And I said, I am going to fight for my wife. I am going to fight for her. I'm going to believe God for the impossible. I'm going to believe God for a wonder. I'm going to speak and believe in faith, and I'm going to continue to do that. And I said, God, I'm going to go home and suck it up, and I'm going to be willing to start with day zero with my wife and trust you that, God, she is coming with me tonight, that you will deliver me, that you will turn her heart. Acknowledging to God that all of this torment, all these years, and all this falling away has had its purpose in me better identifying with Jesus Christ, having to watch an unworthy bride that he sacrificed so much for walk away to be enticed by other lovers in the world away from the one who sacrificed and gave so much for her. The torment that Jesus Christ has had to face has become much more real to me through my own personal experience with my wife and what it means to endure and love an unworthy bride. How Jesus Christ loves us is becoming more evident to me as Jesus Christ helps me to love my wife. And that is the main point of why I wanted to make this recording. This morning, I was led to men love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Ephesians 5:25. Incidentally, I've been seeing 5:25. And normally for me, it means Galatians 5:25. And recently I thought, wow, Lord, I wonder, does this mean 5:25 for husbands love your wives and give yourself up for her? And all of a sudden, this just rose up in me that one of the illustrations that my wife gave me is that the lizard living with the polar bear becomes very quiet. And because he's quiet and he doesn't complain, the polar bear thinks he's okay. But he doesn't realize that the lizard is completely miserable, but the lizard keeps his mouth shut and doesn't do anything because he doesn't want to burden the polar bear. This was Persis explaining to me why she doesn't say anything to me, because she doesn't want to burden me, but that she is miserable. But just because she doesn't say anything doesn't mean she's not, whereas I vocalize everything. And she was explaining that what looks like to you a completely worthless, lazy, useless life, she said, is me. There's nothing here for me. So I have nothing to do except for to sit around in bed and read and write and put my thoughts on paper and go for walks and fix a couple of meals. She said, I have nothing else to do because I'm so out of my element. There's nothing here for me. There's nothing here that works for me. And again, very true in the natural. She's worthless here. She got along much better in India than she does here. And she had, you know, friends and she had not many, but she did have some friends that she would talk to and stuff. And she would go out and do things and she was independent and she could go talk to people and get a cab. But it was her element. But here, without the grace of Christ, she's basically been forced to be a homebody and to be a roombody. And it's looked to me like the biggest waste of a life. And I'm going, man, this is just crazy. And she's explaining that's what the polar bear thinks. He looks at the lizard and says, man, this guy is so lazy. This guy is just worthless. I mean, I don't even know why he's here. And not realizing that the lizard is completely miserable. He's just not complaining about it. And so what I found this morning is that this made me realize that maybe my wife needs more help from me than I've been aware of. And that the fact is that because she is so quiet, because she doesn't complain, that doesn't mean that everything is okay and that she doesn't need me to love her more. And so it all became about how can I love my unworthy wife and give myself up for her more. Not giving up the call of God. I would never do that. The Bible doesn't ask me to do that. But how can I give myself up more for her and help her more and love her more and let her see the true love of Christ in me? And I feel like I've already been doing it a lot, but it hasn't always been in the best attitude. It's been of a, oh, you're taking away this from me now. You don't want to pray. You don't want to read the Bible. You don't want to do this. You don't want to go with me to meetings to meet people. You don't want to be seen. You don't want me to tell our story. You don't want me to do anything. And she's just taking all these things away. And now you don't want to have me, so forth and so on. And so if I complain and grumble about that, that's not loving. If I continue to do good to her in spite of in the face of this suffering, that is commendable before God. That is the true love of God. And I think I have been doing this overall, but I haven't been focusing on it. And I feel like now I need to maybe focus on it. I need to be more proactive in trying to meet my wife's needs. And I tell you, this desire just came into me. This is the most important part of the whole recording. Not all of the laments, not all of the terrors I've faced of watching my wife slip away into the hands of the devil. Not all the things I've suffered. The most important part of this recording is the fact that I feel a love, a supernatural grace, and a love of Christ. That's how I know I'm not going to die today, because God is calling me to love my wife, and I can't love her when I'm dead. But I'm going to love my wife, this unworthy bride. I'm going to continue to reach through to her and help her and comfort her. And just the day before we had this whole conversation, I have made a recording about how I recognize that with my wife, I have to cut all the threads of control or monitor in her life. I have to cut even a thread, allowing her to have all freedom. The prodigal son is not prodigal if the dad ties a string to his ankle. The prodigal son is, all ties have been cut. You run, you go as far and as wide and as fast, as long as you want. I don't have to see you. I don't have to know where you're at. You run and you go get it, tiger. And I have got to give my wife that ability. I've got to give my wife the ability to run and let her have this freedom that she wants so bad, so that she can collapse upon it, finding out that it never will do for her what the real freedom of Jesus Christ will do for her. And let God have his way with her. But I'm going to serve my wife. I'm going to really take a proactive approach to trying to serve her. Again, yesterday I felt such compassion on her that I thought, you know what? We're living in my mom's house right now. And already she can feel, you know, we can't get a stain and we've got things on the counters because this isn't our house. That's a prison for my wife. Am I willing to deny myself so that my wife can have freedom to put something down and spill it if she wants and not clean it up till she wants to, or to leave something sitting out on the counter that she uses without having to put it back in the cabinet, or, you know, to not have it be an issue if she spills something? And I just have this desire to give that up for my wife. I don't even know that I'm fully aware of all the ways I can love my wife like this, but I'm going to ask God and I'm going to ask her. Incidentally, last night when I went home, I walked right in that room from having had, you know, pretty negative, discouraged feelings earlier. I walked right in that room, walked over her side of the bed. She smiled and I smiled at her and I said, "Welcome to day zero." And she just started to smile. We ended up having a wonderful, wonderful time together. And it was very, very like streams in the desert. It was important for both of us. And I basically just am giving myself up for her and going to allow her to give at whatever level she wants to give, take at whatever level she wants to take, and really just give her this freedom. And I know God is teaching me some really deep things in all of this. How to love an unworthy bride as Jesus Christ loved his unworthy bride and continues to do so. And how he continues to hope for her. I'm reminded of Abraham, who against all hope believed in hope. And it says that, you know, Abraham believed that even if he killed Isaac, that he could effectively receive Isaac back from the dead. And the Bible says that he essentially did receive Isaac back from the dead because God pronounced him dead, put the stake in his heart. And against all hope, right now, in this very moment, it is 8:59 on Wednesday morning, the 6th of March, 2019. Against all hope. Yesterday there was no hope. Against all hope, today I am going to believe that God can raise the spiritual dead in my wife. I'm going to believe that my wife is going with me to. I believe that God is going to give me back the Christian wife that he gave me, and that we'll know a love and we'll know a fruitfulness and a ministry and a happiness and a joy and a marriage life that we've never even dreamed possible. I believe it, an effectiveness for God. I believe it, that we'll have a marriage that is so beyond healthy, a marriage that never comes before God, a marriage that is just taken care of because of our faith and hope in God and our trust in him. A wife who comes along with me, maybe not to do the works I'm doing, but who comes along with me in agreement and in joy of the Holy Spirit. I'm believing that God is going to bring my wife to repentance, that he's going to destroy the wisdom. I don't know how he's going to do it. It's not my job to figure out. I'm going to give God the room to work. I'm going to give God permission, not that he needs it, but it honors him to just let it go and let him do this. And I feel like I'm at zero. I feel like today I'm having another Lazarus moment where I'm dying to the struggle to save my wife. I had to struggle to stop trying to save my own life one time, and now I've been struggling to keep my wife alive, like I've been struggling to keep her on life support. And I've had to let my wife go. I've had to let my wife go, and I've got to let her fully die before God can raise the dead. To me, this is the deepest level of faith that I've ever been through. This is the greatest tests of my faith. I have to wait upon the Lord, my God. And, you know, God intentionally delayed when Lazarus was sick. He didn't come until Lazarus died. And I saw this happen with me in 2018, where I was struggling to keep myself alive. My God, I don't know how I missed this principle with regards to my own wife. In 2018, when God has taken His grace and His favor and His power from my life, and I'm struggling to just be a loving Christian. You know, for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 months, I'm still struggling to try to keep what I once had. I'm still struggling. I'm sick, but I'm still struggling to not die. And I was unwilling to just die to the idea that I'm still okay. If I just try harder, I can still be that good Christian and have the anointing. And God was wanting me to completely die. It wasn't until I think about August that I finally just entered in and gave into it and said, okay, God, if you want me to be a reprobate mind, I'll be it. If you want me to be a complete whatever, if you want me to fall away from the faith, I'll do it. If you want me to have not even mention the word Christ, I'll do it. God, whatever you want, your will be done, I'll do it. And I'll just give into it. And I gave into it. And I finally said, I'm dead. I have nothing in me. I cannot raise myself. I cannot even be a Christian. I cannot live like a Christ follower. I have no power in my heart. I once did. It's gone. I'm a shell of what I once was. All of my efforts have failed to be and do what I once was because I don't have the power of Christ. I am, apart from Him, dead. Fit only as a branch that's thrown away and withered and picked up and thrown in eventually to the fire. And I died. And God resurrected me on December 29th, 2018. He resurrected His spirit in me. And apart from the spirit life, there is no life. You are a walking zombie, a dead person. And so I am choosing to believe that God is going to do the impossible. If I look at what I see with my eyes, if I look at what I hear with my ears, my wife is too far gone and too far convinced. She will never come back. There is no ability to see light in her eyes anymore. But if I look at my God, who says, with God, all things are possible. All things are possible to him who believes. Have faith in God, Jesus said. If anyone says to this mountain, go and throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt, but believes in his heart that it will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you have received it and it will be yours. I have prayed and I have prayed and I am believing. My wife is coming back from the dead. I am going to have the wife that God intended me to have in the beginning. My wife will be resurrected from the dead. My wife will be taken from the hands of the devil. My wife will again say, Jesus is Lord. I believe it. I believe this is a divine moment. I know I had one last night. And I know that God is speaking to my heart. Faith, it's God who's given me the faith to believe for a dead person to be raised. God can raise my wife from the dead. God can raise my wife from the dead. I have to let her fully die and accept it that she is gone. No different than if I had physically put her body in a coffin. I have to believe that she's dead. Resurrection can only happen after death. It cannot happen after sickness. And I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord God Almighty. Praise the Lord God Almighty. Praise the Lord God Almighty. Praise you, Father in heaven. How I praise you, God Almighty. I thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you in Jesus' name, Father. All of those who wait upon you will never be put to shame. As the scriptures say, anyone who trusts in him will never be disappointed. Do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in me and trust also in God. Trust in God and trust also in me, he said. I believe you, God, and I trust you with my wife. I thank you. I know that you've given her to me, and I thank God for this unbelievable hellish assault. Here, all of this is happening at a most critical time. When I'm telling the story in obedience to God, God has told me, and I'm going to continue to tell the story in an affront and to show God my faith. I'm going to continue to tell the amazing story of how God brought the most adorable human being I've ever met across my path. My wife is the most adorable, in spite of all I've said. She's the most adorable, and she's the most extraordinary human being I have ever met in my life. I told her that yesterday, that this is what I would say about her if she ever left. She was the most adorable, most extraordinary human being I ever met. I said, and I would tell about you walking away from the faith, but I would let it be known that there is none like you. And I see how good all of this is, how extraordinary God has used all of this pain and suffering and all of this for my good and for her good. And I'm learning how to love the unworthy. I'm learning how to do the highest level of Christianity, to love when you are not loved back. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Do not even the pagans do that? And to love my spiritual enemy, my wife, when I've received basically nothing but torment, this is the highest level of love. This is the love of Jesus Christ. I mean, I still can't comprehend the love that Christ has for us in this. I still, somehow or another, it's difficult for me to make the connection between my personal experience and then looking at God and saying, but Jesus Christ loves us like this? Jesus Christ is willing to tolerate us being enticed by devils to walk away from him, and he's willing to endure our laziness, our half-heartedness, our lukewarmness, our coldness, our being distracted by the things of the world. He's willing to tolerate our spiritual ignorance, our spiritual blindness. He's willing to let us run prodigal and go chase after all the things in the world. I mean, man, this is the highest level of love, and I am actually walking in it. I'm not fully conscious of it right now, but I'm walking in it to allow my wife to have the freedom to fully die and fully go and leave the house. You know, this is amazing. In the prodigal son, it says, my son was once dead, but now he's alive. That means that to him, when the son left the house, he was written off as dead. When my wife has left the house of God, God sees her as dead. Anybody that walks away from Jesus Christ is seen as dead. But that person can be found. Hence, we have the story of the prodigal son. And this is the story of the prodigal daughter. I'm going to ask and believe God for all the grace to be exceptionally kind, exceptionally compassionate to my wife, and giving her tons of space and freedom to do as she sees fit. And just trust him for the miracle of resurrection, because right now my wife is dead. But we are going to have a recording that's going to come where I will tell people the story of the prodigal daughter and how God raised back to life a spiritually dead child of his. So, it's 9/11. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High God will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God Almighty. Oh, I'm so thankful to my Father. My God, I'm so thankful to my Father. Oh, man, he's given me hope. His mercies are new every day. My heart is rejoicing inside. I feel that hope against all hopelessness, in hope. Abraham believed. He was strengthened in his faith, bringing glory to God, for he believed that God had the power to do what he promised. And God has promised me that he will deliver me. God has promised me he will destroy the wisdom of the wise. He didn't say he would destroy my wife. God has promised me that he has made an everlasting covenant with me, secured and arranged in every single part. God has said to me, I will have an abundance in the future, so abundant that my beginnings will seem humble. He said, I will take stock of my property and find nothing missing. That means my wife is not going to be missing. God is doing a miracle in my heart right now to sustain me in the face of hopelessness. I want to read this last thing. Today's devotion for March 6th on Once a Day, Walking with Jesus in my Bible app says, your sure defense when Satan comes calling. Jesus was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell the stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. Luke 4:2-4. Eve lived in a garden filled with good things to eat. Jesus had been... Jesus had been in the desert for 40 days without food. Yet when the temptation to eat came, the one who needed it most resisted it best. Under attack, Eve disobeyed God's word not to eat. Jesus used God's word to defend himself. The word is still a sure defense against the wily schemes of Satan, as Martin Luther proclaims. Walk with Martin Luther. In every temptation, simply close your eyes and follow the word. Oh, I love that line. In every temptation, simply close your eyes and follow the word. Don't look at the circumstances. Don't look at the scariness, but just look at God's word and anchor in it. That's what I was doing last night. Outside the word, there is nothing but tribulation and affliction. Through temptations and afflictions, God proves the strength and virtue of his word. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah that you watch over your word to make sure it is performed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Satan constantly tempts the heart. Therefore, we must overcome the feeling of the flesh and adhere to the word. For God does not forsake us, but like a mother, lovingly cherishes us and carries us. Go to Christ, who is the sacrifice for our sins. In him, the devil, sin, and death have been crucified. One way to conquer is to despise the thoughts suggested by Satan. The more you dwell on those thoughts in your mind, the more they oppress you. Once you lose sight of the word, the ways and means of help are no more. But as soon as you lay hold of some saying of Scripture and rely on it as a holy anchor, the temptations are driven away. This is my exact experience of what happened last night, where I was in the throes of temptation to give up hoping for my wife. I mean, it was probably perhaps I was surrounded by demon spirits yelling in my heart, it's over, she's too far gone, you'll never come back, just trust, you know, let her go, it's God's will for you to lose your wife. She believes it, you believe it, let her go. And yet I stood up. God raised me up. It was like a Garden of Gethsemane moment where I stood up and I stood up into faith and just, nevertheless, God, your will be done. But I began to believe him and proclaim for him and step into this. Walk closer to God. The word of God is a sword with which you can defend yourself. See Ephesians 6:17. But only if you carry it with you. That doesn't mean wearing a sheath with your Bible at your side. But it does suggest the need to know the Word of God intimately in your heart and mind. His sword is your sure defense when Satan comes calling. Don't leave home without it. Last night, I had an extraordinary battle with the devil, and it was only the sword of the Lord, the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit that got me through. And I am trusting, you know, that something good is going to happen. It always does. Whenever I get attacked like this, there's always a blessing that follows. And I've seen attacks come right before God's blessings, and then they follow right after. And this is intentional. But I'm going to believe God. And one day there's going to be a recording. I'm going to keep this recording forever. Because one day there's going to be a recording that tells another story. It's the story of resurrection and the story of the prodigal daughter who finally came home by the power of God. Thank you, Jesus. Today is the 8th of March. I made the previous message about my wife's journey of falling away from the faith 2 days ago on March 6th. This morning as I'm doing my devotions, I recall that I've missed a few days because of the estate sale of reading A.B. Simpson's devotional. And when I read the words, I recognized these were on the 6th of March. And I thought, is that the day that I made mention of my wife's story about falling away from the faith? This is an incredible, absolutely not a coincidence, a divine confirmation from God. This sums up the entire recording I just made in two sentences about my wife falling away from the faith. It's from Wednesday, March 6, 2019, Days of Heaven on Earth by A.B. Simpson. Faith is hindered by reliance upon human wisdom, whether our own or the wisdom of others. The devil's first bait to Eve was an offer of wisdom, and for this she sold her faith. You shall be as gods, he said, knowing good and evil. Genesis 3:5. And from that hour, she began to know, and she ceased to trust. This is, in three sentences, describing exactly to the T of what happened to my wife. I am amazed to read these words. She was made an offer of wisdom, and for that, she sold her faith and her Lord. And she now believes that she, it says, ye shall be as gods. She believes that she has the divine, she has the insight. This is the exact lie that she bought into. See, now I would love so much to be able to send this to her and say, look, honey, this is exactly what happened to you. These aren't my words. I could never do that. It would only alienate her even more and show that I'm still trying to control her. Only God can do this. But this is really, it's alarming and it's amazing. My first thoughts are, wow, did Eve ever come back from this? I mean, and the truth is, we don't really know what the end result was of Adam and Eve. We don't know. And I could speculate several things I see in Scripture, which is not the point of this recording, but this is really amazing to me. This is really amazing to me to read those words. That is truly remarkable. My brother or sister in Christ, it's Michael. I want to add one really important point to this message that you've just heard. The main point of this message, the main lesson that Father was working into me was this: give yourself up and love your wife as Christ loved the church. And I needed to know exactly what that looked like. So in prayer and meditating upon this, Father began to show me that the greatest love that I could offer my wife is to completely let her go, no longer trying to police or block the freedom that she craves so much, and being willing to give up all of these things that I've repeatedly mentioned that I'm losing in my wife and in our marriage. The highest love is that love that will let the loved one go. This does not apply to young children, obviously, who are in our home and under our authority. But for the adults in our life, for those who are beyond 18 years old, who are mature, there is this principle of the highest level of love being that of the prodigal father, who allows the son to go, who does not try to blockade him in, who doesn't give him a laundry list of all the do's and the don'ts and the warnings. He has, at some point in time, he has showed correction without control. And that's what Father showed me, is that the highest love is a love that will show or bring or say corrective things, but will not try to ultimately control that person after the correction has been shared. In order to have that highest level of love, you have to have the highest level of faith in God. The highest level of love can only come from a tremendous faith in God. In order for me to be able to let go of Persis and to love her, it seems contradictory. The idea of loving somebody is, you know, you want to protect them, you give them good things, you do this. But the very best way
using the discernment of God and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, in this instance, how I could best love Persis was to totally, completely let her go. And you're going to hear in some future recordings that when I finally learned this lesson, the rest of God and the peace of God came into my heart in such an extraordinary way. So I say, let us all push on and aspire to love others in our life at the highest level of love, which sometimes means we have to let them go, even if we know they're walking into total danger or darkness. The highest level of love can truly be lived out when we have the highest level of faith. Once again, remembering God is sovereign, in control of all circumstances, all spirits, and all people. Once we have warned them and shown them the truth, we can begin to walk in the highest level of love and trust by letting them go and trusting them in God's hands. We'll never fail trusting God, and we'll never be put to shame. Romans 10:11.